Jesus said in the Gospel of John that if we belong to Him, no one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. But I thought for a moment somebody had snatched my outline out of my hand. I'd left it in the back, laying on the back table. So I had to retrieve it. So I'm getting to that point where did I leave that? You can sympathize, can't you? Thank you for being here today. We have visitors, an abundant amount of visitors. Thank you for your encouragement to us. But more than that, we appreciate what you're communicating to God and that this is important to you. And what a good day it is to be together, to worship Him, and to be in fellowship with Christ. Do you have those moments occasionally when you watch another person where you conclude, well, I could never do that? Maybe you're watching some professional athlete and some feat on a field or on a court, and you're like, how could they do that? I could never do that. Or you hear a singer or a musician, and you just marvel at their talent. Or maybe somebody who's a craftsman, and they make a piece of furniture, and it's very ornate and complicated, and you just marvel at, wow, I could never do that. Are you having that experience regarding the readings that we're doing about Jesus in the Gospels? That you see His miracles, you see His profound, unique wisdom, even the fact that He knew the very thoughts of other people, and you feel so different. You think, I could never be that way, and in those regards, you can't. And we should have that response. But the Bible also teaches us that as we learn about Jesus, we should be thinking about how we can become like Christ. And so this is, in a way, not one of the regular we wish to see Jesus lessons. We have a couple of those every month in conjunction with our readings this year. We actually take some text, some episode in the Gospels, or something that we're reading, and we focus on that for the lesson. This is sort of like a bonus lesson to that series, because as we're reading about Jesus and we're seeing Jesus, this should be in our thoughts. How can I, and in what ways can I become like Jesus Christ? So consider with me several statements peppered throughout the New Testament about the calling we have as disciples of Christ, as Christians, to be like Christ. There's the statement made by John in his first letter in the second chapter, verse 6. In that context is referencing Christ, and John writes, whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Philippians 2, verse 5. Now, Jesus walked on the water. You and I can't walk on the water. But we understand there's a way in which we can walk like Christ or walk after Him. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, this is in one of the readings recently, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And this is that great text about Jesus' unselfishness, even to the point of dying on the cross. That mind should be like in us. And Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, about God's purpose for those whom He would save in Christ. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's God's plan for us. And then specifically about love, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ. See, Christ is the model. As Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us. So we throw around this idea a lot. Expressions like Christ-likeness. We should be like Christ. We should follow in His steps. And you may recall several years ago there was a real popular fad, the WWJD movement, and they made these little wristbands you could slip on. What would Jesus do? A very healthy exercise to consider. So these texts are all teaching something, and others you find in the New Testament, very distinct. And that is, being a follower of Christ is not just about doing a list of things. And it's not even about doing the list of things that Jesus gives us. It's about becoming like him. And the teachings he gives us is for that purpose. You know, you may do what your boss at work tells you to do, but that doesn't mean you want to be like him or you should be like him. You may obey a police officer regarding highway rules or the governor regarding tax regulation and business regulation, but that doesn't mean you want to be like that person or should be like that person. Our goal as a Christian is to be like Christ, and so we take his teaching for that purpose, so that we can learn what he would have us to do and be so we can be like Christ. But how am I going to do that? So, for instance, in our recent readings in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus goes up on a mountain and he's transfigured. And we read how that his face shone like the sun. And a voice from heaven came and said, "This is my beloved son." When he came off that mountain, he healed a demon-possessed boy. Go back earlier in Matthew in chapter 15. He feeds over 4,000 people with just 7 loaves and a few fish. So that in chapter 16, recently as we read, when he asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Peter confesses, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he's blessed for that. Okay, how can I be like Christ? He is the divine Son of God. He's divine in his nature. He can walk on the water. He can heal the leper. He can restore sight to the blind and movement of limbs to those who are paralyzed. He knows the thoughts of other people around him. He's ever been and ever will be God. But he partook of human flesh and blood. Why? Well, so that he could be a flesh and blood sacrifice, as we've commemorated today. And that by giving that body even over to death and then resurrecting from the grave on the third day, he brought about both our victory over sin and our victory over death. But he also took that body and he lived on earth to be an example, to establish the steps for us to follow, to show us who he wants us to be. It's much like when you're teaching a kid to mow the grass and you get the child and, you know, the young person, and you may have them put their hands on the handle and you put your hands on the handle and you show them how to guide the mower. Maybe you're teaching a kid how to bake a cake. And so you and the kid, you get your hands in the ingredients. You mix it up together, and you may have them take the spatula and show them how to turn the batter or something like that. You get there right with them, and you do that with them. That's exactly what Jesus did when he came to earth. He got there right with us, shoulder to shoulder, and showed us how to do life. So, how do I become like Christ? Okay, I get it. Though he is the Son of God, he is living this perfectly righteous life. He is this most holy of all. So where do I start? How do I go about this? I want you to consider the perspective of Ephesians chapter 4. Turn there with me, or I have it on the screen. And in the middle of Paul writing about how that Christ made provisions for his church, he talks about to what end. And he says, starting in verse 13, and we're going to jump in the middle of Paul's long sentence here, but we'll get what he's saying. Until we all attain, this is what God wants for us with the help he gives us. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God. To mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. How do you become like Christ? Like a child grows. It's by growing and changing and maturing. And seeing it that way, which is the way the scriptures teach it. It's the idea, the metaphor here for our growth. It's like a child. Growing like a child is a process. Growing like a child takes time. Growing like a child involves very small increments of change. Growing like a child involves stages of growth. We've got three babies that regularly hang out here in our assemblies. And none of us would think, because these babies are less than a year old, none of us would think, or none of us would expect, a month from now, these babies will be driving cars, carrying college degrees, and getting ready to marry. We wouldn't expect that a year from now. We wouldn't expect that a decade from now. We understand that. That's how we need to understand our growth in Christ. It's growth like a child. It's a process. It takes time. There are increments. There are stages of growth in this process. We don't always think that way about our growth in Christ. And sometimes we don't think that way about our brothers and sisters and their growth in Christ. Sometimes we use the expression, and it's understandable, where they're a Christian. They should be, well, there's a point in which that's right. But also, they're a Christian, they're a baby, they're a child, they're growing. That needs to be injected in there. But I want you to think about ourselves first here in this. We place some obstacles in front of us when it comes to growing to be like Christ. First of all, that our Christ-likeness is about perfection. We're not called to perfection in the sense of flawlessness. We are called to perfection in the sense of completeness, which is really what the Greek term means in the New Testament. But when we think of perfection, we usually mean flawlessness. It's too late for that. It's too late for that for any of us. Because by the time we come to understand the gospel, we've already contaminated ourselves with sin. So we've messed up the perfection objective. It's really about reconstruction. That's why the New Testament talks about becoming a Christian in terms of rebirth, being born again. But it's like taking a house that's been damaged by a tornado or a flood, and what do? You start reconstructing it. You start cleaning things up. You start rearranging things. You start rebuilding things. Well, so it is with becoming a Christian. The mess has been made. When we come to Christ, we're a mess. We've got damage. And now it's time to pick up the mess, clean up the mess, and rebuild. So if you look at becoming like Christ as a pursuit of perfection, that's not realistic. It's not biblical. It's about reconstruction. And also another obstacle is that we resign ourselves to stagnation in our personality and our nature. We all have a personality, and by nature I mean our inclinations. Each individual has a unique personality. And we all have tendencies. We've got strengths and we've got weaknesses in a variety of ways. But in the way that God wants us to be like Christ, it has nothing to do with whether we're an introvert or an extrovert. It has nothing to do if we're skillful with our hands naturally. It has nothing to do if we're talented with using words, either on paper or verbally. It's not those kinds of tendencies and personality traits we have that the Bible is driving at when we're called to be like Christ. It has to do with values. It has to do with character, with morals, with love, with being unselfish and being a servant to other people. Things that any personality can do. But oftentimes what we do is we excuse ourselves from changing. Because we're resigned, well, that's just who I am. We think or say, well, I'm not a people person. And so we don't work on having good relationships with other people. We think or we say, well, I have a short fuse. Or I can't help myself when people talk to me that way. To excuse our anger, our temper, our bitterness, our jealousy. Person may think or say, well, I'm not cut out to be faithful to one person in marriage. God's not asking anything of us that we can't become. And so it's about a transformation. Do we understand that when we finish our lives living here as a Christian, we are meant not to be the same person we were? And confront these words of Ephesians chapter 4, we were reading earlier in Ephesians, but drop down a little later when it talks about this you know, becoming mature in Christ. And Paul says there later on, look at the language that he uses and how this confronts us in this mentality. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, verse 20, but that is not the way you learn Christ. He's referencing there staying in unrighteousness and sin. That's not the way you learn Christ, assuming you've heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. That's another way of putting Christ. What's the real likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness? You want to see that? Look at Jesus. And what this is telling us is that we're to put off who we were and to become a different person so that we're like Christ. Yeah, there are personality tendencies, but those kinds of features have nothing to do with this. This is about character. This is about mindset. This is about value system. This is about how we treat people. This is about purity and righteousness. It's possible to become this new person, and it's necessary if we've learned Christ and committed to follow after him. So I want you to consider two steps here about this. Two steps. First of all, start somewhere. Just start somewhere. Think about the opposite of that. The opposite is start everywhere. No, just start somewhere. When you become a Christian, you don't start off being completely like Jesus Christ. Do we comprehend this? This is reflected in all these teachings here. All these letters, mostly what we quoted here and referenced here, what we've read here, are from the letters which were writing sent to people already following Christ. Not sent to people who are contemplating following Christ, but already have committed to Christ. Where did you get the idea that you start off as a Christian completely like Christ? That you believe in Jesus and you confess that he is the Christ, you're baptized for the remission of your sins, and then you're just like Christ. And then what happens over time is you mess it up. No. What the New Testament teaches is that when you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized into his death, you're cleansed. What happens at the point that you become a Christian is that you're forgiven of all your sins. And then you start growing. You start growing to become like Christ. And sometimes that growth process involves recognizing ways in which you sin and confessing that sin and changing and growing and putting that behind you, as you see New Testament Christians doing. But you start off cleansed, and then the work is to grow to be like Christ. If you get a job in a warehouse, maybe at first they have you stacking boxes and sorting boxes on shelves, and then maybe they say, okay, now we're going to let you work the forklift. We're going to train you on how to do the forklift. And then you start working the forklift, moving pallets around. And then they'll move you to, okay, now you're going to take the pallets with the forklift and load trucks. That's a little more difficult. And so they work you into that job in stages. You get a job at a store and they have you stocking the product. And then they have you helping customers on the floor. And then they have you do something a little bit more challenging, work the checkout. That's how things work. You take any mature servant of Christ, any dedicated Christian, any hard worker in the kingdom, and you look at them 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, you know what you're going to find? Somebody different. You're not going to see the same person, because they've gone through a transformation. They've been growing to become like Christ. And how did they get there? They started somewhere. They started with this thing, and then they learned, oh, I need to work on this thing, and oh, then I need to develop this. That's just how it works. Start on drawing closer to God in prayer. Start on knowing the scriptures. Start on how you treat your spouse, how you treat your neighbors. Start on exercising more self-control with your tongue or sexually. Start on more service to your brothers and sisters in Christ and care and concern for them. Start on more patience and more gentleness with people around you. Just start somewhere. Now, as most people know, in this church, we've got five musicians in this congregation. And they're going to go, oh, not me, you know. But they are. They're good musicians. And whether you know it or not, we've got an up-and-coming one. And he's going to give them a run for their money in a few years, and that's Jonathan Messer. And so if we can just transition him from violin to fiddling, he'll really be set. But that's okay. We'll work on that later. But several of you have gone and heard Jonathan perform. And the other night, I got to go listen to him with his school symphony orchestra. And it was really fun because I got to sit with Natalie and Caroline, and they rooted for their brother, and that was great. And very impressed with these kids getting up and, you know, playing in front of others, challenging pieces of music. And there was one thing that Jonathan's orchestra teacher said to all of us when he was introducing, I think it was a Mozart piece. And he was talking about this piece was very complicated, had a lot of high notes, and it was challenging. But these students had tackled it. And what he said just stuck in my mind, like he threw a dart into my brain, and I walked out with it right here because I was thinking about this sermon. It was last Tuesday. And what he said was about this piece of music and its complexities and its high notes. He said, if you don't try, you won't get there. I bet you Jonathan's heard him say that many times. If you don't try, you won't get there. If you don't try, you won't get there. Do you want to become like Christ? You just got to start hitting one note at a time. If you don't try, you won't get there. And then here's the second thing. And that is, pretend to be like Christ. I want you to soak on that. I know that sounds strange, but hang with the point. I want to cite that the first time I saw this idea was in the writings of C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity. And I think that the more passages I looked at, the more it made sense. We've already seen the passage in Ephesians 4, verse 24, that said, put on the new self. This kind of language is used in a few places in the New Testament, including Romans 12, verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like a garment. Or it's like a persona. I want you to think in terms of how we grow to become like Christ. Well, the scriptures teach us we grow like a child grows. What do children do all the time? They pretend. They take their little dolls and they play house and family. They play firemen. They pretend to be policemen. They get these little toy stethoscopes and they pretend to be a doctor. They get at the computer and they pretend to be a secretary. That's what kids do. They role play. And when they do it, they're serious about it. If you're ever doing like a role play and pretending to do something with a kid, don't joke around. Because they're serious about it. One time, I'd done a couple of weddings, and Hannah had seen the wedding. She was her little thing. And so she wanted me to do a wedding ceremony for her and her little paper prince. And there's a video of this. And I was, and she dressed up in this garb, and I got tickled. And I started laughing as we're trying to do this. She got upset with me. Because she was serious about this. And maybe you've experienced that with a kid. They're real serious about their play. They don't want you goofing off. You know, if they're pretending to be the doctor and they're taking your temperature, they don't want you goofing off. Because they're pretending to be grown-ups. And what do they do one day? They become grown-ups. You see, there are two types of pretending. One is you try to fool people around you into believing you're someone that you're not. You're deceiving someone, and usually out of an ill motive. You're trying to get something from them. You're trying to elevate yourself. You're trying to gain power. That kind of pretense is a bad thing. But then there's the pretending that children do as they are maturing. They're trying to be someone, so they pretend to be that someone until they do. It is aspiring to be a grown-up in that pretending. You see this sometimes with kids when they're playing sports and they have a favorite baseball player. And so when they go to play at the plate, they'll hold their bat the way that famous baseball player does. Or kids get in front of the mirror and they shut their door and they get in front of the mirror and they turn the record on of their favorite singer and they get a hairbrush and they get in the mirror and they pretend to be singing. And they'll do just like him. They'll fling their hair or whatever, they move their hands, they'll do their voices, they try, just, what are they doing? They're aspiring to be that athlete or that singer. Why? Because they want to be like them. That's why. And sometimes children will play dress up. They'll actually put certain things on, pretend clothing, so they can become someone else. The Bible is telling us all the time to put on Christ. So in a way, we're dressing up like Christ. Try it. For example, you're about to go into a business and you're going to interact with some people. Be determined that you're going to interact with that person as if you're Jesus Christ. Or you're about to walk into your home at the end of the day. Pretend that you're Christ in the way that you speak to and interact with the people in that house. You're about to encounter your brothers and sisters. Be determined to interact with them in such a way to show care and unselfish concern for them as if you were Jesus Christ. You know what will happen if you keep doing that? You'll become more and more like Jesus Christ. And it's not pretending to be someone that you're not in a deceitful way. It's that you're trying to be this person that you so revere. And you're going to try to imitate them in every way possible. Because you see, you're not Christ. I'm not Christ. None of us will ever fully be Jesus Christ. He is completely unique in every feature. We're not Christ. But what God wants out of us is to become more like Christ. And you can aspire to be like Him in the ways that we can be like Him. And as you aspire to be like that, you'll be transformed into His image. And do we understand what Romans 8:29 was saying there? That this is God's eternal purpose for us. That's why you were born. That's why you exist. And that's why He saved you through Christ, is so that you can become conformed to the image of His Son. And the sooner we embrace that path, the happier we'll be. And the better off we'll be. Well, Brother Neil has another song selected. And as you contemplate this, hopefully you'll see two things if you're not a Christian. And that is, it is a totally demanding calling. But at the same time, step by step, just like you grew into being a grown-up, you can grow up into Christ. If we can assist you in that decision today, won't you come forward, stand and sing.